Thank you all for taking the time to be here. I know that most of you have families and a lot going on, and just an extra amount of time at church. Just really appreciate it that you're here and that you serve in the nursery. Just thank you so much for your commitment. Just going to open us up in a word of prayer real quick. Lord Jesus, thank you for our church family and just the blessing that this church is in our community. Just thank you for each of the ladies here and the commitment that they've made to our smallest members at church. Just pray that you would bless their faithfulness and just help them to not grow weary in well-doing, Lord. In your name, amen. So to start us off, Ben's going to come up and say a few words. If you don't know, he's the director of children's ministries here at Saving Grace. So.
Appreciate it. All right. Good afternoon. Okay, I guess you're all eating. Those that didn't respond have food in their mouths. I just wanted to take some time to be here. I've listened to some of these nursery training classes in the past and realized, yes, the nursery ministry is run by ladies. That's per design. That's the way we've designed it. But this still falls under the children's ministry as a whole. So we want to make sure, I wanted to make sure that you ladies know there's a direct conduit, either through Catherine or myself, to the elders, to leadership. Please, if there's anything that comes to your mind of something that needs to be improved on or a discipline issue or question that comes to your mind, if Catherine is not available, please come to me. I'd love to help in any way I can. But this is the direct conduit to the elders. So if there's anything that comes up in training and in the day-to-day grind, you know, we want to know. We want to continue to make our ministry better. That's why I'm just here. I'm not here to help do anything else, really, because I can't. I'm very thankful for all that you ladies do on a weekly basis, because I wouldn't be able to do it. So thank you for that. And as I was telling Catherine what I wanted to do, this was pretty much it. But she wanted to encourage me to kind of come up with a little bit more. Hopefully you were all in the Grace Life classes. I gave a little shout out to children's ministry, a little testimony. But I just wanted to share these realities with you again, if you weren't out there, some of the teens that weren't there. Just the realities of the children's ministry as a whole, whether it doesn't matter what church you're really involved in, if you have a children's ministry, these exist. Children's ministry is the largest and most complex ministry in the church. Children's ministry is the largest regular evangelistic ministry in the church. Children's ministry is the largest discipleship ministry in the church. And it's a crucial support to both the pulpit and fellowship ministries, as it allows the parents to be able to sit undistracted during those times. And children's ministry is an important source of encouragement, education, and exhortation to the parents. So with these realities in mind, it's just really good for us to think about these things. As you're doing the day-to-day grind, it can kind of be, you know, I'm just here doing a glorified babysitting service for a Sunday morning. Yeah, to some degree, that's exactly what it is. But you guys are a conduit. You're a grace to the parents as they get to sit undistracted during a Sunday morning. And it's very important for them to do so. So I appreciate you guys doing that. And setting the groundwork also for the kids as they continue to move up into the 3 to 5 year old class and beyond, these are all just stepping stones before they get into youth group and then become a young adult, and they're sitting under regular ministry life with the rest of the adults. So all of these are just foundational steps, and I'm very thankful for what you guys do. As I've seen the 3-year-olds coming into the 3 to 5 year old class throughout the year, it's just so encouraging. Some of those 3-year-olds are the best kids in the class. So what you ladies are doing on a Sunday morning is such an encouragement, and I thank you for that greatly. So I got the title of the focus of children's ministry. Man, that seems like a very high title. I said to keep it fun and light. Catherine did not listen. But yeah, you guys are laying the foundation as you're teaching, as you're instructing, and that is the focus right now. But also getting that information back to parents, encouraging them with areas their children can work in. Crucial, crucial for us as parents to be able to get that information. So thank you. I won't take any more time. If you have questions or anything, I will be here. I'll be staying. So I'd love to help you if you have any questions. Thank you.
I asked Betsy to come up and speak specifically on infant safety because if you have never talked to Betsy, she is a deep well of knowledge when it comes to babies and childcare, and she has a ton of experience with newborn care, being a doula, just a lot of helpful information that I think would really help us and benefit us, especially if you work on the infant side, but just good knowledge to have in general if you volunteer in the nursery. So, Betsy. And she brings props. So
yeah, Betsy. Yeah.
Betsy. Okay, good morning, everybody. This is really near and dear to my heart, and you guys, I think, already are going to know most of this stuff, but it's a great opportunity in nursery for us to be able to share tips and tricks that we have to help with new people that come in. We can always learn from each other, and I just think that it's really exciting. It's also such a huge blessing to these moms. In particular, I'm talking about the infant room, 0 to 11 months. Moms are just, as most of us already know, exhausted. It's a huge transition, whether it's your first child or second, third, fourth, and so on. It's such an encouragement for them, for us to be able to help, for them to be able to drop off their baby, which can be hard to do, and to know that they're going to be well taken care of. So I was just going to mention, like, developmental milestones. They're things that most children do by a certain age. And it's something that I would encourage you to kind of look up for whatever age group you're going to be in, because it can just give you some good ideas about how you can be an encouragement. I know it's a short amount of time, but it's good to be aware of those kind of things. No babies are exactly alike, and they're going to develop at a different pace. But there's some milestones to keep in mind, and one of those for this age group is that fussiness tends to peak at 6 to 8 weeks. So if you do have a baby in there at that age, you might notice that they're just hard to console, and they're maybe having a tough time. At 4 months, a baby can typically hold their head up without support. That's different. Some babies do it earlier, but it's usually by then. Around 6 months, they can usually sit well assisted or propped up. And then the separation anxiety, which is fun when we're dropping kids off in nursery, can start as early as 4 to 5 months, but it can also become more like around 9 months. So that's obviously different for all little ones. Head control is huge, especially for those first 4 months. Just being super careful of their neck, whatever you're doing, because their head is so heavy and they have a hard time holding it up. So that's something that I would say is like one of the most important things, is just to be really careful of their neck. There's different positions, and this is kind of going to move into soothing, but these are so basic, but obviously we have a cradle position. If you're sitting in the rocking chair with them, sometimes they just like to be like this and look at us, face-to-face position. It's hard to do it with this baby because the legs don't move, but you can do a flex out where when they're little, in your room still, they're kind of crunched up. So you can kind of gently hold their legs and just tuck their arms up so they can still reach their face. And usually, just kind of do like a bouncy kind of thing. And again, being careful of their head always, that it's not going to fall forward or anything like that. Chest and shoulder hold up here. It feels good for them to have the pressure on their stomach. And you're going to see me just patting. Some kind of patting is usually good on their behind or their back. Soothing. Things to consider in nursery. Are they hungry? If they need to be burped, they're going to be fussy. And are they maybe too hot or too cold? Dirty diaper? All of those things would be the first things to consider. But then if they're not having any physical needs, you can try some other tips. I don't know if anybody's heard of those five S's that Dr. Harvey Karp does, happiest baby. But for little ones, 2 to 4 months, you can do swaddling. And it doesn't have to be anything, you know, perfect, nothing special. Just having their arms closer to their body so they're not having that startle reflux. And then if you're in nursery or special, just being careful to not have any loose blankets around their face, whether they're laying down or you're holding them. The side stomach is another really great, like this, and moving, like always moving. And change it up. That something's not working, walking around. They usually do not want to sit down in the rocking chair. I know that's what we want to do, just sit in the rocking chair, really comfy. They usually don't want to do that. You can try it first and see how that goes. And then you can alternate to this kind of a position as well, where they're, you're putting a little bit of pressure on their stomach. And then just always being careful of their neck. Shushing, depending on how little they are. I usually work with young babies, so most of this is for younger babies, and we think we know more what to do with the ones that are sitting up and stuff like that, but just a really loud shh. That kind of a noise can be really soothing for them. They're used to it being loud in the womb. Swinging, which, again, just make sure that we're not doing any kind of a shaking motion. But any kind, sometimes an exaggerated motion can just help them to get calm. And then hopefully you can stop and just walk with them over your shoulder. Pacifiers, if the mom has that. So we're talking about the five S's, or the swaddle, side stomach position, shushing, sucking. Those work really well. Another thing I like to do when I'm in there is to dim the lights. I think that makes a lot calmer environment if there's younger ones in there. If they're a little bit older, it's not as much of a deal. But for the little ones, dimming the lights is nice. Music, any kind of calm, lullaby, classical worship, that can be nice as well. They can enjoy that. I was going to say that, yeah, don't do what I'm doing. When parents are coming to drop off their kids is a really great time to get information. So when did they eat last? I even asked someone, was their diaper changed? Are they going to be tired while they're here? So that you're kind of getting an idea of what their needs might be, and then you can anticipate and work that out. And definitely, what snacks are they allowed to have? Did you bring something that you only want them to have, or can they have the pups that you have in the nursery? What would you prefer for your child? And then just being really careful to follow through with that. Also, sometimes when all the babies are crying, you're going to just naturally tense up. So try and remind yourself to just take a deep breath and keep yourself calm, because if we're calm, it helps them to be calm. And the little ones that can sit with assistants, I just love getting on the floor with them. I've had my last few times in nursery, it's my favorite. I get to sit with Carissa on the floor, and we catch up on life, and we read baby's books and play with toys and engage with them. And it's really wonderful, and I hope that they're enjoying that time too. Another thing that you can do is if a baby is struggling on a weekly basis, they're really fussy, maybe have mom leave their sweater with them, so that they're with you guys, so that they have something to smell that's familiar. Just anything like that can be really helpful. Diaper changing when they're really little, it's nice to keep a blanket or something up here, or even a hand here, because otherwise they feel like they're flailing when you're laying them on their back. So it just makes it easier to change their diaper. And then I think we've already talked about this before, that it's better to not, like, do this when you're changing the diaper. It's not really good for their back. So you can just kind of turn them to the side, and this works better for them. It's more comfortable as well. them to sleep on their back always is the requirement, at least in this setting. We do different things at home, probably. And then just when parents are coming, when it's that point in time that parents are going to be showing up, just to, you know, make sure that we're in a good place, even if we've had a rough half hour or whatever it is, to happily hand their baby back and be able to give them a good update about how the morning went, and so that they're feeling confident that their baby was in good care while they were with us. And I guess that was all that I have. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
Do you guys track, like, babies, like, diaper changes? Mm-hmm. Like, what about, like, anything spitting up? Or, like, what do you track, and what are you giving to an adult or parent to pick them up?
If I had a baby that had a big spit up that was more notable than normal, I would probably mention that or write that down. I haven't had that happen at all, but we just write down diaper changes and feeding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the most part, unless something major happens. In every single one of the nursery rooms, there's a whiteboard, so we're tracking any updates. So if they had a bowel movement, if they had a nap, if they went to the bathroom, if they're an older child, we're tracking that, and we update the parents when they pick them up, just to keep track of that information.
Thank you.
And if you guys have any questions, Betsy said that you could go up to her. She could teach you how to swaddle a baby, go over any information that you wanted to talk about with that. So thank you so much, Betsy. So I just wanted to really focus, kind of quickly go through a lot of practical sides of nursery, but touch on the heart behind nursery. So nursery, especially going in there, most of us are on a once-a-month rotation. It can be very consistent. It can seem like you're going in there and you're just babysitting for an hour and then you're leaving. I would just really like to encourage you to be engaged, to focus on the spiritual side of it. We're not just going in there and we're babysitting. This is an area of ministry that we're serving our local church in. That these are little souls that we can minister to. Even though they're very young and they might not be able to communicate a lot, they are learning so much at this age. So just some verses to encourage you. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as having opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is an area of ministry that you're serving in. It might seem insignificant. It might not seem like a big deal, but it is a huge blessing. If we did not have the nursery, if we did not have 0-2 child care that you guys are serving in, it would really make church life, church ministry difficult on a Sunday morning. There's a lot of benefits to the nursery that I wanted to touch on briefly. One, we're coming alongside the parents. We're reinforcing the training that we're already doing at home. Obviously, we're not replacing the parents and we're not taking the place of the parents. But by us consistently working with their children, this is how you say please and thank you. We're going to be sitting still when we eat our Cheerios. Can you share that toy with Johnny? These are all things that are helping reinforce what they're already learning at home. And it's very important, and I really see a difference even with my own children when they're in nursery. When they come out, they're learning these behaviors, they're being reinforced. This also is a huge blessing to the parents that they are able to sit in the sermon and listen undistracted. Even if they had a perfect child, if you are a parent and you have your child in there, you are in the role of a parent. You are focused on that child, and it can be a distraction no matter how well behaved your child is. So it just is a huge blessing to the parents to be able to sit, listen to the sermon undistracted, as well as be able to serve in other areas of ministry that they can have an opportunity to be blessed in our church by getting involved, by serving in different areas. So huge blessing to the parents. My encouragement to you would be to engage with the children. Don't be passive in nursery. Even if you're dealing with little babies or two-year-olds and they're playing, get involved with them. Be active. Don't passively just watch or, you know, have a conversation. That can be a benefit of nursery, that you can fellowship with the other ladies. But our focus in nursery should be on these children. Ways you can do that. help them learn good behavior. So, for example, let's say two children are not sharing a toy. You can have them role play the situation and help them handle that situation in a good way. Okay, Susie, you took that toy from Johnny. That is a sin. We shouldn't, take toys. We need to be loving. We need to share. Can you show me what you should have done in that situation? Can you share this toy? You can go through that situation and help them learn a good behavior by practicing it out. At this age, they learn so much by actively doing things. So get involved with them. Read them Bible stories. Talk to them. If you see them behaving wrongly with another child, talk to them about it. Get on the floor with them. Engage them. It can be very easy, especially if you've been doing this a long time, to kind of check out. But my encouragement to you is little years are not wasted years. They are learning so much. Get involved with the children. It's a blessing for you to be working with them and ministering to them, and it makes a huge difference to them. Lastly, get to the heart issues. This is huge as a parent. I have to preach this to myself a lot. Don't just correct the behavior. Talk about why it was bad. If they take a toy, don't just say, give the toy back. Were you being loving in that moment when you took that toy? Why don't we show love? Just different things like that, that you could really help them understand what they're doing, why it's wrong, and what they should be doing. Not just telling them why the behavior is wrong, but also showing them how they could do something better in that situation so that they can learn. So just briefly touching on that. And then I wanted to just talk about some important things that come up a lot in nursery that a lot of people have questions about or can get confused. In nursery, previously, people would decline a lot of dates, and it became a scheduling nightmare to handle all of the different date changes. So if you are not able to do an assigned date that you were given, we ask that you do not decline it. You find a replacement, and then you can let either the coordinator who's on that week, or you can text me and let me know that you're switching with that person. But please do not just go in and decline the date because it can add a lot of confusion with the schedule. So please don't decline serving dates. Block out dates. This will help you so much in not running into the issue of declining dates. Usually we schedule nursery every 6 months. We usually send out a notification letting you know that we're going to go ahead and schedule the next 6 months. So this gives you an opportunity to go in, check your schedule, if you have any trips, any important dates planned, that you can go in and block out those dates. If you go ahead and put that in Planning Center that you're blocked out, we will not schedule you on those dates. So it's very helpful. We see that when we go into schedule, and we'll make sure to switch you for a different week that works with your schedule. So very important. If you have any questions on how to do a block out date, it's very easy, and I can show you after this. How to switch a serving time. We run into this issue quite often. If you are not on our church app, if you are not on the nursery chat thread, please let me know because then I can add you on it. There are two ways that I recommend to switch with someone if you cannot do a date that you're scheduled for or something comes up. The easiest way that I tell people to do first is to go on Planning Center, look where you're serving, go to the next week and see who's serving in exactly that same position and ask them to swap with you. If that person's busy, you could look ahead 2 weeks and swap with that person. Directly contacting someone makes it the easiest way to switch. Usually direct contact, unless they're busy, they're happily able to switch with you. The second option is if you have tried those options, or if you're running into an issue, you can post on our nursery chat and ask if someone's willing to switch. That I always recommend, don't make that your default go-to for asking to switch, because just putting it out there, especially if it's last minute, someone might not see it, and you're also putting it kind of as a void out there. People don't have to respond. They don't have to switch with you. If they're a really nice person, they might, but that's not the default. It would be a lot easier to just reach out to the person who's on the next week in the same spot and switch. They are getting a direct question from you. They have to answer. They're already serving in that position. We know it's not an issue with it being a leader versus helper. That's the easiest way. And then just making sure that you reach out to either the weekly coordinator who's on that week that you're supposed to serve and just letting them know that you switched, or you can text me and let me know you switched just so we update the schedule. And if that person's running late, we're not going to text you and ask where you're at. So that's the easiest thing. If you have any questions on that, feel free to talk to me after. And then Planning Center. I know that Planning Center can be a little confusing to people, so I just wanted to walk you through it briefly. The two apps that we're using at church for the nursery is our church app that we would be using as our nursery chat to ask questions. I might post updates or reminders, and then for switching. And then the Planning Center app is the actual schedule that you can go on, see where you're serving, what your schedule looks like, and who else is serving. So I wanted to briefly go over that. All right, good. So this is an example of the schedule. You know, if you go on it, this is what it's going to look like in Planning Center. You can go to your individual schedule by on the bottom pressing schedule. It will show you the dates that you're scheduled. So let's say you have a date and you're assigned it and you're sick and you're trying to switch with someone or you're on a trip. You would click on that date, and if it doesn't show this automatically, you can press Teams. So by pressing Teams, it will pull this up. Now, it will show up a little bit different for you. It will probably only show you the two nursery teams for 9 a.m. and 10:45. For our scheduling purposes, it shows up as 10:30 and 8:45 because that's the time that we're requesting that you're there to be in the nursery room so that we can start accepting children. So this will show you who's on for that week. It will show you if you're confirmed, if you declined, if you didn't confirm yet. Red is declined. Yellow is pending. You haven't confirmed the date. And green means that you're confirmed. If you wanted to know who your coordinator is for that week, it will always be on the bottom. So let's say that you need to switch. So great example, look at my schedule there, 10:30, two-year-old leader right here. So let's say that I am not able to do that week and I'm trying to switch with someone. If you see up here where it says the date, there's arrows. That's the back and forth arrow, and it will take you to the previous or next week. If you go on to the next week by pressing that arrow, you can see exactly who is in the same spot as you. So for example, if I was trying to switch, I would look for Julia Regal. Now for me, I am able to usually just press her name and it will show up her contact info, but for most people it could be, because I'm an administrator in that, you might not be able to click the name. But if you are able to click the person's name, under their profile it will show up three icons. Let me pull up. Let me do it this way. The other way, real quick, under their profile is, if you can't click their name, you can go down here to where it says people and you can type in their name. For this, it might not be working because I might not be connected to the internet. But in that, you would be able to click on their name, and it's going to pop up three icons underneath their name. It's going to pop up an email icon that you could press that and send them a direct email. It's going to show a little phone icon, and you can press that and call them, or it will show a little text icon. So by going on to that person's direct profile, it will give you the options to contact them. So you don't need to have someone's phone number saved in your phone in order to switch with them. The easiest way is to go onto their profile, go and see those icons, and you can send them a text and request to switch with them, or if you need to contact that person in general. So that's a great way to reach out to someone. You don't have to have their number saved. That would be my go-to for switching dates with someone. If you don't have the Planning Center app, if you're having difficulty navigating that, if you're not on the nursery chat, please let me know so that I can add you or help you navigate it, because these are the two most important tools that we use for scheduling and communication in the nursery. Also, if you just had any questions about, like, what dates you're scheduled, or maybe you forgot where you're at, go to your own schedule. It will show you all your dates that you're scheduled for in nursery. You can add blockouts, really easy. You can email. That's a very useful tool to know where you're at in nursery, what you're scheduled for, Definitely encourage you to just mess around a little bit with that and get familiar with the app because we use that a lot. Who to contact, we went over that a little bit if you're switching. If you were sick and you were running into an issue with switching with someone, or there was any complication, you had any questions regarding the week that you're serving, I would reach out to your weekly coordinator. We have a few coordinators, weekly coordinators, that are on rotation. So we have Candace Quakel, Megan Mitchell, we have Christina Volpa, we have Jenny Sturton, and Anna Zomer. So those are our weekly coordinators that are on rotation. So just look who's on your week and who you can reach out to for that. If it is a scheduling issue, like 6 months out, or you had any questions just in general to the scheduling of nursery, or things that you weren't familiar with, questions about blockout dates, any technical details, please reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you. I'm a nerd. I love talking details, so don't feel like you're bugging me at all. I would love to help you with that. Common problems that I'd just like to address that we run into quite often in the nursery. Arriving late to nursery. So if you are working in the second service, 10:30 is the time that you should be in that nursery room that you're assigned. If you're working first hour, it should be 8:45. If you are not there, we can't start accepting children. So for safety, we have to have 2 volunteers in each of the rooms before we can have children. We can't have 1 person in the room start accepting children. So that does lead to a backup. If you're not showing up, we can't accept children. They can't check in their other children, maybe to other classes. They could be running late for the service. It really is showing love for your other sisters and brothers in Christ by prioritizing the time. If you are serving, make sure that you're on time. It shows love. We're not having to back up or be delayed or switch things to work around the schedule. So if you are scheduled to serve in that area, please make it a priority to arrive on time. If you are running late, please let the coordinator know so that they're aware of the situation and can fill in for you until you get there. We do run into that quite often, and I would just please encourage you to make that a priority if you are serving, to be aware of it. If there's an issue with a reoccurring time that you're struggling with the first hour, maybe I can switch you to serve in the second hour if that works better for your schedule. So just please let me know if this is a reoccurring issue for you. Talk to me and we can work something out that we can figure out something that works better for you. Overcommitting. It's a terrible thing. You know, you wouldn't think that we run into that. Thank you so much for being super involved, but we do not want you to be missing a Sunday service by serving in the nursery or in other areas. And how this looks is committing to serving both hours, 9 a.m. and 10:45. We do not encourage that. We don't want you to be missing service times by serving. We are so thankful that you want to serve and the blessing that you are to the church body. But we also want you to be spiritually nourished, be under the word of God, and be in the main service. So if it ever happens, we try to make sure that we don't do that, but sometimes there's oversight, and we might double book you. You might be serving in Sunday school or another area of ministry, and you're scheduled in nursery. If you are ever double booked, please let me know. Sometimes it's easy for you if you know a friend who's serving in that area. Maybe they can swap a week with you. But if you are double booked, please let me know so that we can change that schedule for you so that you're not missing the main service. If you're serving in the nursery, we really encourage you to try to be in the main service for the next hour. So if you're serving 9 a.m., please go to the main service for the second hour, vice versa. So we don't want you to be missing the main service. Don't be as helpful as it is and how much we love you. Don't commit every week to being in a nursery. Don't try to fill every gap. There are other people. There's over 48 people in the nursery. We don't want you to be constantly, every single week, filling in for people. We want you to be in Sunday school. We want you to be in the main service. So don't overcommit to that. We appreciate that when you fill in for gaps, but don't overbook and miss the main service or miss being in Sunday school frequently. And just let me know if there's scheduling conflicts with being scheduled in another area of ministry and the nursery consistently. We would love to be able to fix that for you and change it. Not knowing how to find a replacement, that's another really common thing. Like we just talked about with the Planning Center app and the church app, it's usually pretty easy to swap with someone. If you ever were running into an issue where several people have not been able to switch with you and you're last minute, reach out to the weekly coordinator. They have a lot more people that they're able to contact and they can brainstorm with you to find a replacement. But usually if you're proactive in going on Planning Center, switching with someone, super easy. That's usually the simplest solution. Going on the church app as a backup. And then if you know that you're not going to be able to serve on a date scheduled, please try to lock that in as far in advance as possible. Sometimes we've run into people who try to find a replacement less than an hour before the time that they're supposed to serve. That's really difficult because they didn't let the coordinator know, and it's very difficult Sunday morning, an hour before the service, to find a replacement because they're not checking the app. So just if you're reaching out to someone directly, easiest way, but if you know that you're not going to be able to serve, try to find a replacement as soon as possible so that's not last minute right before the serving time, and then we have a shortage. Not following nursery protocol is another issue we run into. That could be because you're not familiar with the nursery protocol, or that could be just you like doing things the way you like doing it. So if you are serving in the nursery, we really ask that you would please follow the guidelines. One, it's for your protection. Two, it's for the safety of our children that are in nursery, and you are being a steward over other people's children in the nursery when you're serving in there. So if you are ever unfamiliar with the protocol that we have in the nursery, please come up and talk to me about it. We're going to touch on a few here, the common ones that we run into, but if you are ever unfamiliar with something, if you ever have a question on how things should be done in the nursery, please let me know. I'd be happy to explain it to you. Not blocking out dates in Planning Center is another thing that we run into. If you are scheduled, let's say 6 months out, and you haven't put those block out dates in Planning Center before you're scheduled, it is on you. It's your responsibility to find your replacement. We've had a few times where after someone's scheduled, they then go in and add their blockout dates. That's not how it works. The blockout dates have to be put in before the schedule comes out. It doesn't cancel out the date that you're put in. So if that happens where you're scheduled and you then add a blockout date on a date you're scheduled, you might get a text from me asking you to find a replacement. So just please go ahead, add those blockout dates before you're scheduled, not after you're scheduled if it's a date that you're serving on there. Okay, nursery protocols. The ratios, we talked a little bit about it. For the ones and twos, we have a 1-to-4 child policy. So in the 1 and 2-year-old rooms, the max we're going to have is 8 children on each side of those rooms. With our infant room, because those children are smaller and need more care hands-on, it's a 1-to-3 ratio. So the max amount of children that we're going to have in there is 6 children. Now, there might be a special service or something where we're anticipating larger numbers of children, and we might have more volunteers for those service times, and then our numbers would be higher. But on a standard Sunday morning, it's going to be a 2-to-8 ratio in ones and twos and a 2-to-6 in the infants. So just to keep that in mind, as you're in there, don't be accepting more than 8 children if you're at 8 children, because then it would create a safety issue in the nursery. When you are changing a child, or if you're taking one of the 2-year-olds or a potty training child to the bathroom, we ask that you wear gloves. It is a barrier for hygiene, for your safety. Just wear gloves, changing and assisting a child in the bathroom. Barriers. So when we change a child, we have little pads stacked next to the changing tables, and we're supposed to put down one of those when we change a child. Something important to keep in mind, too, is that as you change each child, every child that you change, we are taking off those gloves, throwing them out, putting on new gloves. We are putting down a new barrier cloth every single child. So we don't have to be cheap. We're not using the same pair of gloves to change 5 kids. We're not using the same barrier to change multiple children. Each one of those pairs of gloves and barriers are changed out for every single child that we're changing. Otherwise, it defeats the whole hygienic purpose of wearing the gloves. Sick policy. In each of the nursery rooms, there is a sign on the wall that goes over our sick policy, but just to briefly keep in mind, if we have a kid that has a fever and you think they might have a fever, we have a thermometer in every single of the rooms. You can check if they have a fever. We are not accepting a child that has a fever. If you see a runny nose that has a color to it, yellow, green, we are not accepting that child in the nursery. If they are coughing a lot, if they're showing obvious signs that they are sick, we are not going to bring that child into the nursery because now we're exposing that child to all the other children and all the toys and surfaces that they're going to be touching. One, that's going to spread really quickly in the nursery, and two, that child's going to be miserable and most likely cry the entire time. So don't accept a child that's sick. Just following up on that, we never give medication to children. So if there is a kid that comes into the nursery and the mom's like, hey, can you give them this or can you put this in their ear? No, we don't do that. You don't want to do that. So we don't give medication to children. That is only handled by a mother. We are not putting zincs and creams and powders on children when we're changing them. If you notice something, if you notice a rash on a child, definitely inform the parents when they're picking them up, but we are not putting creams and powders and stuff all over the children. That is the parents' responsibility. This is really important. It's easy as they're coming in, even if you're familiar with them, even if you've known them for 5 years, make sure that their child is checked out before you give that child back. We take on a stewardship of the children when we take them into the nursery. We're making sure that their tags are on. On those tags is going to be the child's age, the contact number of the parent, and if they have any allergies or sensitivities. Look for that tag. Make sure that they're checked in when the child is dropped off. Usually our regulars, that's not a problem, but if you have a new family, they might directly just bring a child into the nursery not knowing our policy or how we do things here. You could point them, direct them, help them out, but make sure that a child is checked in when they're coming in. And this is where we usually have the issues, is make sure that that child is checked out. Make sure that if they're there for one service, there's one punch. If they're there for two services, there's two punches. Verbally ask them when they go to pick up their child, hey, did you pick them out? Check them out? Oh, I'll go do that. Let me take my child and I'll go check. The kid can't leave the nursery until they're checked out. So make sure we're the guardians of the children while they're in there. Big title. Make sure that those children are safe.
What about nursing moms with babies? What's your recommendation?
Yes. So we now have a room for nursing mothers that has a changing table and a privacy room, just to have chairs that they can go. So if a mother needs to change a child, if a mother needs to nurse a child, direct them to that room. It is very important that the only people that are in the nursery are the children that are checked in and the assigned volunteers that are supposed to be there. We are not having parents come into the room. We are not having other people come into the room. We keep those doors shut. That is a barrier of safety between the children and the people in the hallway. And the hallway gets very busy. It would be very easy for a child to slip out. You might not be familiar with their parents or a family member. We keep that door shut for safety. The only time it would be opened is if you have a bigger child or a kid that's walking and we're letting them in or out, and you're right there at the door. So if you have a mother that needs to change a child, direct them to the the nursing mother's room. The only exception to that would be if we were having an issue with a child. Let's say a kid was having an issue in the 2-year-old bathroom and it was some type of accident and the kid is not letting anyone touch them. We might call on the mother to specifically deal with that situation. Or if we are having a kid who's very difficult, if you are not able to hand them over the door, we might allow the mom into the room to take that child out. We are not allowing men in the nursery. That's just our policy. And we don't have anyone in the nursery who's not an assigned volunteer. I know that that can be a little awkward sometimes if a parent opens the door and tries to walk in, but we just have to, in a nice way, say, hey, I'm sorry. You can blame it on me. I don't care. Say, hey, Catherine Quakel says we can't do that. Just say, this is our nursery policy. We can't have anybody in for your child's safety and the safety of the other children. We can't let anyone in here. Same thing with a tag. Just make sure that those tags are punched before someone takes their child out, because we're now giving that child back
So what if someone brings their child first hour to mom and then needs to come pick the baby up to nurse the baby and then bring the baby back?
Yes. So we have a lot of situations like that. We have a lot of nursing babies. They usually communicate that. That's where Betsy talked on that a little bit. It's really helpful ahead of time when they drop off a baby. Is this baby going to get a bottle? Are you coming back to nurse this baby? Is this child potty trained? Are they wearing a pull-up? Do they have a diaper bag? We need to make sure that the child has a sippy cup or a diaper bag with supplies. Ask questions when they come in. It makes your life a lot easier if you know that information up front about the child. What snacks can they have? Is there a special snack?
Signed out, though, like if I'm giving Colt back the
They do not. Okay. If they are a nursing mother, between services, we're not going to have someone at the stations to do check-in, check-out. This would specifically just be for the infant room where they're dealing with that. The mother can come and say, hey, I'm going to nurse the baby halfway through the service. Or it might be a baby that's really fussy and we call the parent and they say, okay, I'm going to go nurse the baby and I'll bring the baby back. We do allow them to take the baby and come back. They're showing us the tag. We're going to see that. We can verify it. They can take the baby and come back. Same thing would happen if we were having a baby that was, let's say, had a really bad accident or needed a change of clothing. We would call the parents. They can take the child out, change them, bring them back. So those would be the situations where they don't have to be checked in, checked out, and we'd accept them back. Usually nursing mothers, or if there was a situation where we needed to call the parents. But verify the tags. They should be showing the tags. If you have any questions, yeah.
So I've had to come pick up children kind of mid-service because they just couldn't settle. What about them? Like, how do we verify, passing off the child and they don't have their tag punch because it's not quite checkout time.
Yeah.
What would you recommend for that?
Yep. So every single one of the tags that a parent is given matches the number on the tag of the child. So you can verify that the number matches if they're not punched out, because during service we're not checking in and out. That would be the only time that the child would not be checked out. What we like to remind the parents is, hey, after the service, please go and check them out, so that we're still current in our system. There's not a discrepancy of this child never left nursery 3 weeks ago. So just going, asking them to please check out the children after service. If they don't do it, God sees all. We don't know. But just make sure that you're reminding them to please go after the service.
Did you want the nursery volunteers to then write down on the board, so-and-so, mom picked up at such-and-so?
Yes. Okay. So every single one of the rooms has a whiteboard. When you come in, the weekly coordinator is going to put the volunteers' names on that board, and they're going to put their name and phone number on the bottom, so if you ran into any issues, you can reach out to them. Basically, that is our report sheet of what's going on in the room. Maybe the previous hour, the person in it give you a lot of information on that child. We should have the important details written on that board, that their mom's going to pick them up halfway through and feed them, that they get a bottle at 9:30, that they take a nap at 10. Those are all important details that will help you in the next hour or just help know about the child. So on that whiteboard, we are writing every single one of the kids that we accept into our room, so it's keeping a head count for you, and then we're updating the board with, okay, this child had a bowel movement, this child got picked up by a parent. So that way, it's very helpful. At the end of the services, the nursery coordinator goes through, takes a photo of those boards, and sends it on a coordinator chat to me so that I'm able to look through that. So if Kristen ever had a question about a checked-out child that didn't get checked out and they were in the nursery, I can look back on that and confirm, okay, that child was in there, their parent took them halfway through the service. If there was ever an issue, I would write that on the board. All the important details, anything major, we're putting on that board for accountability, because I'll see that, the coordinator will see that, and then situations like that where there's someone not in the hall to check in or check out a child, we're updating the board so we know what's going on with that.
Maybe this applies to nursery too. I believe for that kind of thing, if someone has to pick up in the middle, mm-hmm. in the children's ministry meeting, they had said whoever the leader is, they would go and tell whoever's on check-in and let them know, hey, this person got picked up in the middle.
So yeah.
Maybe if the parent doesn't go up and tell them afterwards,
yeah.
that person can make sure they're checked out.
No, that's really good. That would be good, because then we'll keep that accurate. Yeah, that would be. I'll be talking to them about that, because that's what you're doing in 3 to 5s then. If a
It should be. It's going to be more rare that you're going to have that sort of incident as opposed to nursery.
Yeah. No, I'll talk about that. If you're a leader in nursery and a child was picked up, you can go to the check-in people and just mention that so that they can verify that it was done. But we are always going to remind the parents if they're picking them up halfway, hey, please go and check them out. Usually they have other children in other areas like Sunday school so that they're going there anyway. But remind them when they're picking up their child, if they have to pick them up because they're having a hard time or something happens, just remind them to go and check them out as well. So, any other questions on that?
Would you just give an example for everybody of, let's say there's a family that comes, the nursery's totally full, maybe you've never even seen these people before. Mm-hmm. What language would you like for us to use when we're saying the nursery's full, we can't accept any more children?
Yes. So, in that situation, it depends. So, our nursery time is 15 minutes after the service starts, the nursery check-in and check-out's closed. So, if it is after those 15 minutes, we can't check them in and out anyway, so we're not accepting any more children. If it was before those 15 minutes and a child comes, it depends on the situation a little bit. So, the coordinator should still be in the hall, and they're working with the room. So, for example, if the one-year-old room is at capacity with eight children and the two-year-old side has two or three kids and we have a new family that's coming in, we might bump some of the one-year-olds to the two-year-olds to make room for them. So that would be on the responsibility of the coordinator. But if the coordinator, for whatever reason, left early and went to the hall, if we can still work between those rooms, sometimes we might move some of the children around. Maybe the infant room has one child in there and our one-year-old room is at capacity. We might put some of the younger one-year-olds back into the infant room so that we can accept another child. Let's say in the situation all the rooms are at capacity and we can't accept any children. We'd say, hey, I'm really sorry, but for the safety of the children, we have these ratios and we can't accept any more children. But we have a nursing mother's room, and we have an overflow room in the back of the sanctuary. So I would encourage you, you know, if your child's getting noisy, go to the overflow room. You know, maybe encourage them if they're coming again. Hey, you know, closer to the service time, it gets really full. If you come a little bit earlier next week, we definitely have room. You know, just things like that. Encourage them to maybe come a little earlier. Usually, we're not at the point where we have capacity in every single one of the rooms. So talk to the leaders in your room. If you're a helper or if you see the coordinator in the hall, say, hey, our room's at capacity, but there's this new family here, and the coordinator could navigate the rooms a little bit and move some children around. So usually that's our option. That's what we're doing. If one room's at capacity, we're moving the kids around a little bit. If not, encourage a mom to go to the nursing mother's room. There's a live stream set up there so they could watch the service, or direct them to the overflow room in the back of the sanctuary.
Now, if there's a nursery, you wouldn't be able to move a nursery child up to a one-year-old class, correct?
So it's not really a one-year-old class. Nursery is 0 to 2. So we have three nursery rooms. Yes. Yes. So with the nursery, we have three rooms. And they are set for specific ages, just because those are the toys and
the
setup.
The infant being the 0 to whatever. There's only six kids allowed.
Yes.
Going back to that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
If we're at six and the seventh comes, what is the solution?
In that situation, seventh infant comes, we have a 10-and-a-half-month-old who's going to be bumping up to the one-year-old room soon. We will put that kid in the one-year-old room, as long as our one-year-old room is not maxed out, to make room for a younger, maybe six-month-old baby. So we're going to take the child who's the eldest in the room, that would be the closest in development and maturity to the one-year-olds, and we're going to move them to that room. We're not going to take a three-month-old and move them to the one-year-old rooms. So that's not going to ever happen. But a child who would be moving up shortly to the one-year-old room anyway, we're going to bump them up to make room for the other child. So that's how we're safely maneuvering the nursery to fit the children and to work those ratios so that we're staying within a safe ratio.
Okay. I like the answer, and I'm going to pose this question to the group. Does anybody see a problem with that, potentially?
Then your ratio would need to change in the one-year-old room to six.
Not entirely, because in the infant room, it's 0 to 11 months. So we're keeping that ratio with the thought that we are going to get younger babies in that room. So if you have a 0 to 6-month-old child, they're going to need a lot of hands-on support, their head support. They might not be sitting up. If we are putting a 10 or almost 11-month-old child in that room, they should be walking or close to walking. They should be crawling. They should be able to have head support. They should be able to sit up. So we have a 6-child limit in that small room with the thought that we are going to have smaller babies in that room. But a child that's closer to a year will be developmentally close to a one-year-old and should be able to take Cheerios and should be able to crawl. And so we wouldn't need to change the ratios for that.
You would just need to change the information from the
Yes.
That's really important.
Yes.
That changes the information.
Yep.
Yes.
So the coordinator would be handling that situation to transfer the baby's belongings, to update the leaders in the one-year-old room of the situation. Mm-hmm. Any information that the parents gave, we're giving that information to now the leaders in the one-year-old room. Yes.
Yes. And we can talk about this, Kevin and I can talk about this more, but I see there's the biggest problem being the child going from one room dropped off to now the parent of that child going to that room to pick up their child and saying, oh, no, your child's over there now.
Sure.
Especially if it's a newer family or anybody, they might not understand that. That would not be my preference, and communicating all of that might be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we can come up with a better answer, and I would like to talk about that with Catherine.
I'm just adding that if we're bumping someone up, it's usually a regular attender.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wouldn't take, like, the newer family, we're going to give them priority in a sense.
Yeah.
Oh, but actually, I think we should.
Yeah, and there's a ton of flexibility
yes.
in terms of,
and
this child has a more mellow demeanor.
Yes.
They will be a better fit, like, even if you have to bump somebody down.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Because lately
also,
we don't have a lot of infants.
Also, we have a lot of moms serving in
yes.
the nursery, so chances are that one of the kids might even be, like, the parents already in the nursery, so we
yeah.
can move that child.
Yeah. And the benefit is that there is a coordinator on site during check-in and check-out time that would look for the parents, and we are staying very consistent with our communication. So the infant side, hey, we're taking this child and we're putting them in the one-year-old room. Hey, one-year-old side, this is a child from the infant room. This is what the parents gave instruction-wise, and they're in there. And so usually common situation that happens, parents check out their child, walk to the infant room. Hey, the room, like, 15 feet across the hall right there, we had to move your child there. The rooms are all very close. They don't have to search and look for the room, and it's down some other hall or corridor. The rooms are all very close, so that makes it very easy. And we're like, hey, checkout is in that door. Very simple. Usually we don't run into any situations with moving a child where the parents are like, why did they move to a different room? We've never run into a situation where it was a problem switching a child.
I'm sorry, you know, I've been so laissez-faire in the last...
That's why we don't have men in the nursery. I checked him into this door. No. And then lastly, usually once or twice a year, usually it's free. I know some of the classes you do have to pay for. They hold a CPR and first aid class at church. I will send out updates about that when that takes place. I would really encourage you, if you are in the nursery, to attend those classes just to be aware of safety, choking, risks, what to do in that situation. Obviously, we're trying to do everything to prevent a situation from ever happening in the nursery that would be a choking hazard or a safety issue. But it just helps you so much more to have that knowledge and that training ahead of time, even in preventative care, to not run into any issues. So strongly encourage you, if you serve in the nursery or any children's ministry, to take the CPR and first aid classes. And I always send updates about that and let you know when they're scheduled so that you're aware of that. Any questions on that?
Yeah.
I have a question about adult bathroom protocol. We're supposed to have two people in the room. What if mid-service one of the people need to go to the bathroom? What is?
Yeah. So, would strongly encourage you, if you have to go to the bathroom, plan on arriving to church with enough time that you're able to go to the bathroom before you have to go in the nursery. That would be the easiest way to avoid that to begin with. We're all adults. Usually we can hold it an hour. So go before you're scheduled to be in that room. If it was an emergency situation, if you're in the 1 to 2 year old side, we do have 4 volunteers in that room, and it's a dividing slide. So you could open that up. One person could go to the bathroom because you still have 3 people in that room as long as our ratios are within those numbers.
Also, the security guard in the hallway, you have them come to the door.
Yeah, you could have, that could happen where you have the person at Bulwark stand at the door. Infant room, yeah, infant room, because we only have 2 volunteers, I would really say either one, if it's an emergency, we could have the person from Bulwark stand at the door with the top open to just be there as the presence, but I would really encourage you, just let's avoid the situation in general and just go to the bathroom before you go into nursery.
When the dividers open in the 1 and 2 room, 1s and 2s, does the ratios change at all?
Nope, because the children still are the same amount and the adults are the same amount. So we're still having 1 to 4, so 1 adult volunteer for every 4 children. So in the 1 and 2, so that doesn't change at all.
Could you touch on the cry policy and maybe specifically what do you do if, I mean, if it's 10 minutes, then we call the parent, but what if it's off and on?
Yeah, and that can be a judgment call. We do have what we call an if-then chart in the nursery room, specifically in the 1 and 2 year old room. So let's say you're new to nursery or you're just trying to figure out how to handle a situation. There's an if-then chart on the wall that talks about the behavior and how we handle the behavior. Specifically, we'll run into crying a lot. Now, in the infant room, it is going to be different because the kid can't say, hey, I have a dirty diaper. The only way they're going to communicate is crying. So if you have a kid that is very fussy and crying, and it's hysterical crying for 10 minutes, or just off and on very hysterical, we're going to call the parents because, one, we can't soothe that child, and it's going to distress them. And if you've ever served in the nursery, one kid can set off all the kids. So sometimes, let's say especially in the infant room, if we have 6 babies in there and one baby you have to hold the whole time and is crying nonstop, they're in distress the whole time. They're very upset. We're going to call the parents to soothe that child. Maybe the mom just needs to go and nurse that child and bring them back, and then they're okay. So we're going, if we've tried everything, changed their diaper, walked around a lot with them, tried giving them a snack, a bottle, whatever, if you can't soothe that child in the infant room and they're off and on just nonstop fussy, we're going to call the parents so that you can focus on the safety of the other children and it's not a distraction, and just for the safety and comfort of that child. In the 1s and 2 year old room, it's a different story because of the development level of those children. So if you have, let's say, a 1 year old child, and they're crying nonstop, they're red in the face, they're very upset, you cannot calm them down, I would call the parent. It might be a situation that might be under 10 minutes, and I would recommend calling the parent. That is a judgment call on that situation, but you might have a child who is hyperventilating and very upset, and that might be a situation that only the parents can get involved in. So judge the situation. We're not going to have a kid hysterically crying for over 10 minutes in there. So that's the easiest thing. If it's 10 minutes consistently, yeah, that's easy to spot. Okay, we need to call the parent. But if you have a kid off and on, nonstop crying, that you are focused on that child the entire time and you can't focus on any of the other children, then that's a safety issue and that child needs to be comforted by their parents and addressed. But especially if it's a new family, I would encourage them. I would encourage you guys to talk to parents a lot, taking the children and when you give the children back. So if we have to call a parent because their child is crying a lot or in a lot of distress when they got dropped off, and we have some children like that. They've never been separated from their parents. They're new to church. It's a strange environment, and they don't know the people. I would talk to them and be like, hey, he's having a really hard time, so we have to give him back to you, but please bring him back. little bits of exposure, even if they have to pick them up several times over the course of a few weeks. Every time that child is exposed to the nursery, they might spend a few extra minutes in nursery. They're getting more comfortable. They're getting used to the schedule, the people, the environment. Encourage them to bring the child back. Don't be like, here. Here's your crying child. No. Be loving. Talk to them. Communicate. Try to encourage them to drop off their child again so that that child, we've had a lot of kids that they started out and they were hysterical in the nursery, and now they're great, and they don't have any issues. And it's because the parents consistently dropped them off, and you guys showed love towards the children, and the children got used to the environment. So encourage parents, talk to parents. By being proactive, by being engaged with the children, you're really understanding their habits, their personalities. You're figuring them out. You're talking to parents. Talk to parents when you give the children back and be like, hey, your kid was great in nursery today. They sat still. They folded their hands. They closed their eyes when we prayed. They asked questions. They engaged. They shared their toys really good. Talk to them. Or on the flip side, it can be a little uncomfortable, but say, hey, your kid was in here and was having a really hard time sharing toys. We had to talk to them a lot. Or, hey, your kid was being a little aggressive with other kids, or we had to separate them from this particular child. It might be a little uncomfortable, but that is so helpful, because what if it's an only child and they never see their kids interact with another kid, or their kid's a perfect angel at home and in the nursery they're a terror? And they have no idea what's going on. And that is so helpful, because the parents know what they need to be working on with their kid. And who knows, maybe they won't accept it well, and that's on them. But most of our families are very thankful that when you tell them what their kid's going, you know, what's going on with their kid, how their kid behaved, it can be encouragement, or it can be like, thank you for that. Now I know what I need to work on at home with my kid. And you can give them updates. So if your kid is, if their kid is consistently in nursery, you can say, you know, if a kid was having a hard time with sharing and the parents really worked on that with them, your kid did so good with sharing today. They were great. We didn't have any issues. And that is such an encouragement to the parents to be faithful in parenting. So it's on you. It's where you're at. If you want to go in a nursery, we can't force you to be engaged with the children. We don't watch you and monitor you. You can go in there and chill out and be like, yep, they did great. Nice time. Or you can be like, hey, this is what your kid did. This is how they acted. If you feel uncomfortable with that, if there is someone in the room who you're working with that maybe is a little bit more mature than you or can talk to someone at the door who's more comfortable with that, maybe talk to them. Sophia, you might want to talk to the leader in the room with you and be like, hey, this kid, you know, was having a hard time, but, like, I don't know them, and I want to, you know, can you talk to the parents about this? Because this kid's in here every week, and we need to, you know, address this. And they would be like, Sophia, I got you. And they'll talk to the parents, and they'll go through that. So if you do feel uncomfortable, talk to the person in the room. That's why we have helpers and leaders, and we pair different personalities together. I would encourage you to do it, but at the very least, definitely talk to the parents or have that communicated to the parents so they know what's going on. It can be a little outside your comfort zone to make sure a child's checked out, but don't make it about you. Make it about, I am responsible to make sure that these children are safe in my care. This isn't about someone judging me or thinking about me or me being uncomfortable. I need to make sure that these children are safe. And so I need to make sure that they checked out that child. Or this is a behavior issue with this child, and I need to get past myself and show love for this child by making sure that I tell the parents what's going on with the kid, because they might not know anything about that, because that kid, they don't see in nursery. So just, I would just challenge you to get out of your comfort zone if that is a struggle, and communicate with that, with the parents, or have the other person in the room communicate that. And lastly, thank you. It is hard working with little children. Every time I see Linda Masella in the one-year-old room, all of them are screaming at the same time.
I didn't do it.
And I see her going over there and bouncing kids and, like, playing with kids at the same time and feeding kids. And it's such an encouragement, because I'm like, she's never quit. That would be hard. And sometimes you're going to go into the nursery and all the kids are really cranky and emotional and upset and you're like, why am I doing this? I'm not getting anything out of this. I'm changing dirty diapers and they're not even my kids. And I would just encourage you, it's such a huge blessing to the parents. It's a blessing to you. Even in something little like this, you're serving our church. You're showing giftedness in different areas by being loving, being patient, being kind. And God uses that in your life as well in ways that you're serving, even in little things like serving in the nursery. So I just would say thank you for all of you that are consistently working with our smallest members at church and teaching them the very basics of being kind, showing love to others. And just on that, does anybody have any questions on anything?
Just one little comment to back up what you were saying. The reason why I never quit is for years, the only time I was apart from my kids, because my husband worked 80 hours a week, the only time I was apart was when I could sit in a service and put my kids in nursery. And that was such a blessing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, the same thing. My daughter had colic, and she would be screaming for 24 hours. And I would come to church brain dead. And I was like, and I would go, I'd be like, I'm ready to take on the week. So it can be an incredible blessing to the parents. You might not know. They might be smiling. They might say everything's great, and they have a lot going on at home. And just having 1 hour to sit under the Word of God, to fellowship with fellow believers, can be a huge blessing to help encourage them to be faithful. And it's a huge blessing. I know it's really helped a lot of families. So, any questions, Ben?
Oh, I want to add one more thing. Obviously, you ladies are in this ministry every single week, every single month. And we appreciate that. If there's something that we can improve on, even a recommendation, hey, I think we could maybe do this. If it's broken, we want to fix it. If it can be improved upon, we want to do that too. So I'm pretty, I know this isn't the best word in this circle, but pragmatic and learning different things and wanting to grow and get better. So if there's something we could be doing that would be an improvement, we want to know. Mm-hmm. And we can make changes.
Yes.
Like we do have possibly, hopefully, a little outside play area coming soon. We've talked about 3 years, so hopefully that will be coming soon. So if there's anything else, please bring that to my attention. I would love to be able to continue to improve.
Yeah. Even if it's little things, when you're serving in the nursery, if you notice something is really not user-friendly or we're just missing a certain item that would be super important, like Cheryl was telling me, hey, why don't we actually hang the clocks on the wall? They're all on the shelves. I'm like, you know what? I've never noticed that. Why are the clocks not hung up on the walls? So just little improvements. That's not a burden to me. That's what I'm here for. So text me, email, talk to me. If you see little things in the nursery that we need to improve upon, let me know so that we can make it better. So, all right, yeah, I'll close us in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. If you're able to help out, just put the tables back. We're just going to put the chairs back to how it normally is set up. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you for all of the ladies and Ben here. Just thank you for the blessing of their commitment to our church, their service. I just pray that you would help them run the race with endurance, that they would not grow weary in well-doing. Just bless their service, Lord. Help them to engage with our children, to show love and patience and kindness, that it would impact the lives of our children here at Saving Grace Bible Church. Just protection and prayer. Just want to pray over these ladies that you just be with them and bless them as they're growing and just to help them mature in their walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.